This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Next studio guest, we have Ewan Murdoch, who's here to talk about the Melbourne Recital Hall. And Ewan is the CEO of Melbourne Recital. And you know, at first I thought it was recent, but you've been doing it for a couple of years. So, welcome to the show, Ewan.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Sorry that we're taking this long to have you on.
No worries, but I'm pleased to be here on a lazy afternoon. Here we all are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, even though you did say you came on the tennis courts, and you weren't being that lazy.
We were,
but you weren't. Okay. Now, Ewan, we'd like to start off just by having a bit of a chat, you know, just get an understanding of, I suppose, your background, how you got involved in the industry that you are now.
Yep.
So what have you been doing before you got to Melbourne?
Well, great question. I guess I've been fortunate enough to have really had music as part of my life since I was a nipper, so for as long as I can remember. It's always been an essential part. But most recently, I was director of New Zealand School of Music, Te Kōki, which is based in Wellington, but it has campus around the country. And that was a school of music, as you'd imagine, with musicology, with performance, classical and jazz, very rich composition school. And so that was an academic-style role, although they had continue to have a very ambitious plan to create a hub with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra in a gorgeous old Edwardian town hall, which has been closed since the last round of earthquakes in Wellington.
Oh, what a shame.
It's absolutely gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous space for music, and we really need to get it back.
Yeah.
So that was the project. The project's still alive, I'm pleased to say, and maybe at some point I will be able to go back and help out with the next stage. But so that was my previous role. Prior to that, I ran Chamber Music New Zealand, which many of your listeners will know, Music Aviva. And we're sister organisations, both been around about the same length of time, somewhere between 60 and 70 years, I think, in fact, approaching 70 years. And the two organisations have worked hand in hand through all of that time to bring the best chamber music down under. And very often when you're negotiating with artists, you know, they want to come, but they want to see both countries. Mm. And so very often we were working our contacts to make sure that Australia and New Zealand got access to these incredible chamber musicians. So that was the previous role. And then really my background is I'm a cellist. In terms of my portfolio career, performer on the stage.
Yep. Do you still play?
I do, but not on the professional stage at the minute. And that's something.
Do you think you will? Because you said not at the moment.
I would say not at the moment. When it's been part of your life since you were 5 years old, and I'm a few years older than that now, to be fair, it's always going to be part of my life.
Yeah.
Making music with others, it's just such a privilege. Mm. And I've somewhere along the line picked up this idea that, you know, making music with others, for others, is really the ultimate. So that's a little bit of why I find myself here in Melbourne. Because often, you know, we say as performers how terrific it is to find the right people to play with, you know, and then we think about audiences and we think, gosh, isn't that fantastic? We've got the right people to play for. And then there's a final part to that equation, which is, what about the space you're playing in?
Mm.
And it's always been one of those, gosh, if only the acoustic had been this way or that way. And here we find ourselves with two of the most ravishing halls anywhere in the world.
Yep.
A 1,000-seat room, which is called the Elizabeth Murdoch Hall.
And what a beautiful room it is as well, isn't it? It just
gorgeous.
Looks stunning.
It does. We think of it like an instrument.
Yep.
And in fact, for any of you that have been in there and you've admired the incredible hoop pine, Tasmanian hoop pine work around the wall, the whole room is just feels like it's an organic experience to be in there. And the architects were inspired by the back of violins, of stringed instruments, which have these really gorgeous flamed, textured, patterned backs. Of course, they have done it for an acoustic reason so that the sound actually breaks up around the room.
Yeah, I can remember I went there when it first opened, because I did a story on the whole building.
Yes.
And we were upstairs in the back, and they dropped a 50-cent coin on the stage and we could hear it.
Absolutely. I think the magic of music, by the way, and I've often been outspoken about this, was all kinds of people can play the notes, right? Mm. That's not really what it comes down to. And sort of the longer I have thought about this, the more I realise what really makes magic is how you play the space and how you play the silence and how you group notes together. And what you need for that is just the most wonderful acoustic space to work in, mm. so that actually every moment of silence is just that.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the things about this room. It's a box within a box in the main room, so it's a concrete box.
Yes, and they built it so you'll be able to explain this a little bit better than me, but because of the trams rumbling by and all yep. that, it's actually on a cushion.
That's right. It has 54 major mega springs that sit around that suspend the concert room. So it's as I mentioned, the outside shell of the building is concrete fundamentally, although of course what you see is mostly wood, and then the inside concrete box is then decked out with wood, and it's two completely independent chambers. So in terms of soundproofing, once you walk across the threshold into the hall, you are soundproof, and it's a wonderful experience to go in there.
Yeah, and what I love about the recital centre is, and in that main theatre, is the variety that you see there now. I was saying off air that a friend of mine was with her Greek girlfriend yesterday for a Greek fest that was there.
Wonderful day, yeah. And the night before, if you'd been there, you would have had Michael Lunig on stage drawing cartoons live with Katie Noonan up, and an orchestra put together called the Impossible Orchestra.
Yeah.
Wow. With the impossibly wonderful Ian Granditch as the MD. So, I mean, there was a lineup.
Yep.
And neat thing about that is that so often when you combine visual and performing arts, one part of it's static. And here was everything on the move, including the art.
Yep.
So it was really, it was a transforming performance. So yeah, night after night, day after day, it transforms itself. And we're still exploring what works and what doesn't work, and what fun we're having doing that.
Yeah. Because it was a bit shaky, well before your time, of course, is that you're like, I don't think it really knew what it was doing when it first opened, when the first round. And you know, and everyone was a little bit shocked, I think. But after about a year and a half, it really got its act together, and it's now, you know, like going ahead in leaps and bounds, isn't it?
I guess I'd make two comments about that. One is the vision for the place that drove it along was just unbelievable, fantastic vision, and that will take us many generations into the future. It's got legs, is what I'd like to say.
Yep.
And so often what happens when you've got a project like this, which requires all kinds of startup funds, all sorts of you know, lobbying, advocating for it to get the funds to build it, so often what happens is that you take your eye off the programming in the first instance. So it's a very different skill set that's required at that time, and actually I believe that the business model also probably hadn't quite been tested.
Yep.
And, you know, to be fair, 10 years later, now we can look back over the time and go, you know, we've got a pretty good sense of what works, what doesn't work. Mm. And that is, in all ways, not just the programming part, but actually what works from a business point of view and what doesn't work.
And, and of course, there's times when there's full orchestras on stage, because, of course, there can be, and it's being broadcasted by the ABC.
Yeah, that's right.
Radio National.
That's right. Our partner's right across the road, and 3MBS often broadcast out of the, especially they broadcast out of the Primrose Potter Salon. So yes, it's a great partnership, a collaboration there. And also in the last few years, we've had a pilot project to develop a digital platform of our own, which is called Live from Melbourne Recital Centre.
Right.
If you go onto the website, you can have a look at that and a listen. The idea is that, of course, it will never recreate the experience of being there.
No.
Live,
yeah.
But it can bring a lot of that back. We know that, you know, when we hear something that we know, a bit like our lazy afternoon before, and it brings back all of those feelings, they all sort of well up, and you can almost get the pleasure of the experience all over again.
Yep.
That's what Live from Melbourne Recital Centre, that's what we're trying to achieve.
Now, moving out of the main hall, What's the other room? You did mention it a few minutes ago.
It was until the 26th of September last year, it was called The Salon.
Yes.
And we're delighted to say it's now called Primrose Potter Salon.
Okay.
Primrose Potter, of course, is well known to many people around Victoria and actually all of Australia. A most extraordinarily generous and colourful woman who's come in with the largest individual gift that we've received. So this is not through the Potter Foundation, the Ian Potter Foundation. This is Primrose herself, saying, I really admired Elizabeth Murdoch and what she did. She's one of my great mentors. I'm speaking on behalf of Primrose now.
Yeah.
And I would be honoured to be acknowledged and remembered alongside of Dame Elizabeth. So,
brilliant.
Upstairs called Elizabeth Murdoch Hall. And if any of you have worked it out, having a hall already named E. Murdoch Hall was a good start. That's my name as well. And then downstairs, we've now got Primrose Potter Salon.
Now explain to people what that space is used for and what is on the walls there.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I love walking in there.
Yeah, it's a ravishing space too. So it's a 140-seat flexible space. So that
it's almost like a studio space, isn't it?
It's a flat floor space that pretty much every night you come in and there's something programmed in there every night of the week. It's mostly our local heroes series that run out of there. Friday night, if you're along, with Friday Night Jazz at 8 o'clock. It's really lovely.
I've been to some great cabaret.
Yep. We set it up for cabaret as well, and we had some adult Christmas cabaret at the end of last year. Prancer and Vixen were in doing their thing. I think I'm supposed to say Prancer. Sorry about that. It's my Kiwiism coming through. It's a very flexible and versatile space. We like to think of it as our place that can transform every day, and we try and keep it in that transformative
What's
space.
On the walls?
Great question. So there's a graphic score. Some of you will know that music sometimes is written down and we've got used to seeing the five lines. That's called the stave, or sometimes you hear it called manuscript. And then there are some fly spots on the page that some clever people can either write them down or interpret what they mean. Yeah. And then many other wonderful people don't rely on written music in order to make music. There are many, many equally wonderful musicians from all different genres, all different cultures, who actually don't need the five lines or the music there. And one way that composers have explored that is something called graphic notation. So graphic notation, like it sounds, is you use dots, dashes, shapes, pitches, and extreme signs to actually indicate to the performers what they're to play. Now, this particular score, which is engraved all the way around four walls, is by the very colourful Percy Grainger, another Melbourneian.
Yep.
And it's called Free Music Number 2. He wrote it many decades ago, but it's an ensemble piece that is meant to be performed. And it is our intention to realise it, especially during our 10th birthday year.
Yep.
And so that's all the way around. And then also engraved all the way around the top is a rather wonderful letter. And that letter is talking about what it is to be brave, what it is to be strong and brave. And gosh, don't we know what that feels like just at the moment,
yep.
Especially those of us from across the ditch there. Kia ora koutou to all of my Kiwi listeners out there too. Stay strong.
Yep.
So around the walls was a piece which is quite a kind of visionary piece about what they imagined would go on in the salon. And so you read all sorts of things about bravery and risk-taking and all of that. And it sort of gives a bit of a message as to what we should be programming in there.
Mm.
So it is a wonderful space. Look, we're up over 600 events a year at Melbourne Recital Centre now. So, doesn't take quick mathematics to work out that's more than one a day.
Yep.
So we're regularly programming one in the Elizabeth Murdoch Hall, one in the Primrose Potter Salon, and all kinds of musics.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And that's the lovely thing. And of course, at the beginning of the year, there's a new program that comes out. And the variety is just so wonderful, isn't it? And a lot of, world music as well.
Yeah.
And especially around this time of the year because of WOM Adelaide.
Yes.
And so a lot of the artists come through Melbourne on their way to or from Adelaide.
Yeah, correct. Look, I won't go really deeply into the business model, but let me just touch on it and you'll understand why it is that we get to have Blues Fest artists here and we get to get WOM Adelaide artists and festivals. festivals, we combine a lot with them. The business model is simple as we couldn't be taking the risk on 600 events in the year. It's just too risky.
Yep.
So about 50%, maybe just a little bit above 50%, we take the risk on ourselves so that we program them. And then we're up for getting the bums on seats to make the books balance. And some of you may know the name Marshall McGuire, who's a wonderful harpist,
yep.
classical harpist. He's our director of programming. He has a great team, have good ears, very good ears, and spot talent. So 300 or so of those events we program and take the risk on. The other 300 we either collaborate with key presenting partners, and many of those are well known to us: Australian Brandenburg Orchestra, Australian Chamber Orchestra, String Quartet, Musica Viva, Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, Melbourne Chamber Orchestra, Australian National Academy of Music, and the list goes on. Yeah. There are about 9 or 10 of them. And so they're interesting, and the fun thing to do then is to look at the overall program and to actually think of the experience from an audience point of view. As an audience punter, you walk in and you don't stop to think who's presenting the concert necessarily. You're coming to the place,
yep.
you want to enjoy it,
Absolutely.
You've come because of the music or maybe the artist, mm. just possibly because of the experience. And I can assure you, if that's you I'm talking to, come along, because there's always something of real interest mm. there. We love the people that are not quite sure about the music or not quite sure who that artist is. We'd guarantee you a wonderful experience if yep. you would just take that punt and mm. come along.
And going to your website, of course, is the key. What is it?
It's Melbourne Recital Crashed. So one word, Melbourne Recital. There we go. I have to say that slowly. Please be very sure that you get that I in recital, by the way, because it is embarrassing if you don't put it in. .com, thank you very much, .com.au. If you get in a cab, they'll often say, Melbourne Recycle Centre, where's that? So opposite ABC.
Yes. I love the architecture on the outside.
Gorgeous.
It's really interesting. And I also love climbing the stairs there as well.
Yes.
Because you view through to Melbourne skyline, and the spire at the Arts Centre is wonderful.
Yes, it is. It's called the Grand Staircase, and it truly is grand.
Mm.
What I love about it is when we bring people up into the Elizabeth Murdoch Hall, which is up on level one, they enjoy the concert and they spill out, and then they spill out and go down the Grand Staircase, and you can actually you re-emerge back into the city.
Yep.
And you know, it may have got dark in the meantime, mm. the lights may have come on. We've now got some public sculpture, some glorious works up there at the minute, which and again, just sort of playing with the senses.
Yep.
And I love that sort of feeling of re-emerging into the world, where you want to try and hold on to that magic, that moment that you've just enjoyed in the room for as long as you can before you hit the traffic.
Yeah, the traffic. Yeah,
or it's also another thing you can't avoid in Melbourne.
but thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you for giving us a wonderful year's program yet again this year, and always love going there. It's such a treat.
Thank you. And maybe the point, I've talked a bit about classical music today, but actually half the program is contemporary mm. music, and so get on there. There's some amazing artists coming yep. through.
Oh, absolutely.
Regularly. So yep. have a look, and we look forward to seeing you there. If you haven't been there before, I've got great news for you. There are $10 tickets available. We're making 10 $10 tickets for every show in our 10th anniversary presented by
brilliant.
Us. So get on the website, tells you how to sign up. No excuses not to come. See you there.
No problems. Thanks so much, Ewan. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.